The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Are you still considering trading down, or have you guys decided to use that number today?
We feel great about staying at number two. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down, to be honest with you. Yeah, we feel great about sticking there.
Adam Peters learning the lessons of unfortunate body language. You notice he's sitting on his hands there, so he won't have any tells as he's saying, yeah, we're fine. You know, no head scratch, no nose pick, no ear clean out, nothing that would cause anyone to question the veracity of his words. And there's a fascinating dynamic that's currently happening with the Commanders. Chris Sims' opinion has been for weeks now, since studying the film of all the top quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, no-brainer, number one. Jaden Daniels, in Chris's opinion, no-brainer, number two. Sprint to the podium with the card if you're the Commanders with the second pick in the draft. Well, it's not clear what they're going to do. And I'm developing a sense, as I talk to people who are in a position to have reason to know what's going to happen, right? As Bill Belichick said earlier this week on McAfee's show, the teams aren't really talking this time of year, but there are some people involved in the broader process. The agents need to be able to set the expectations of their clients. That's the most important thing you can do as an agent when the draft approaches. You need to give your client the high and the low. And you better be right on the low, because if they go lower than the low, you're fired. Or at a minimum, you got a lot of work to do to get yourself back in the good graces of this premier client that you think is going to be a generator of fees for you for the next 10 years. So they get the information, and then the challenge is talking to the right ones. And after 23 years, I know who to trust. I know who not to trust. So I started working the phones after what's happened this week with the Commanders. And just to summarize, and we'll talk more about this later, we'll get their response later. We're going to give them equal time. But where it got weird was when they brought in four top prospects on the same day. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., all on the same day. Sims and I reacted to that without really talking about it in advance. We were both just like on the show, like, this is kind of weird. And I get it that, well, you bring in a bunch of, and we'll hear their explanation later, but the Belichick explanation from McAfee show was, well, we did this all the time. I don't think you do it with quarterback prospects, top of the draft, when this is your most important decision as an organization to make since they traded up to get Robert Griffin. And before that, it was the ill-fated Heath Shuler experiment in 1994. This is a critical, critical pick. And I think it's imperative to bring these guys in one at a time, know everything you can about them, get them all in with you. And that's where this has kind of gone off the rails for the Commanders. Because I'm hearing belief that maybe Jaden Daniels isn't all that interested now in going to the Commanders. I don't know if he was before, but this has kind of brought it to a head. And the agent post on X with the clip of Chris and I talking about this strange dynamic of bringing in the top four prospects at the same time, the agent did the pensive emoji. That has sparked plenty of talk, plenty of speculation, and, plenty of movement of the betting odds. Jaden Daniels on Tuesday was the clear favorite to be the second overall pick in the draft. Now it is even. It is identical between him and Drake May. At DraftKings, they're both minus 115. At FanDuel, they're both minus 110. Oh, can't mention FanDuel. At the other major sports book, they're still minus one. They're even at minus 110. So something's going on here. And the options are very simple for the Commanders. At two, take Daniels, take someone else, or trade out of the pick. And more people are starting to guess, starting to believe, starting to think they're not going to take Daniels at two. So either they take May at two, or they trade out of that spot and try to get May later. That is starting to emerge, Miles, as a very real possibility for 6 days from now.
Well, that would certainly be interesting. I mean, especially when Peters is saying, yeah, no, we're good at two, you know. And you'd think that if a team needs a quarterback and they are in position to have their pick of whoever they want aside from Caleb Williams, then you're inclined, let's say, to stay there and get your quarterback and don't bleep around with it, because you don't know what's going to happen if you trade down, whether it's one spot or two spots or maybe more spots than that, because there is so much more uncertainty there, right? I mean, if you trade out and then somebody picks the quarterback that you actually wanted, then you're kind of up a creek without a paddle. And like, what exactly are you doing there? But, you know, that's the interesting thing about this. You know, I just, if I'm the Commanders, I would do what Adam Peters said he's going to do, not be inclined to trade out of number two overall and just pick the guy that I want. Because, yeah, you can pick up another asset, but is that going to be worth it if you're playing games and you don't get the exact quarterback that you ostensibly have fallen in love with throughout this draft process? To me, that would not make much sense. But there are a lot of things about the way the Commanders have gone about, let's call it, the last week, that have not made much sense to me.
Well, and here's the other dynamic. This is the other thing that I picked up from somebody that I trust immensely, who is very plugged into the ownership scene. Josh Harris, a lot more involved than they thought he'd be. And the only explanation that makes sense to me, and everybody in the broader league structure with, you know, teams and agents, et cetera, that I've spoken to about this, I've said, hey, this is my theory, and it's good. I'm proud of it. Like, hey, I finally thought of something, so I'm running it by everyone. And unless they're just humoring me, which is entirely possible, everyone's like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. They brought them all in on the same day because that's the day that Mr. Harris was available to see them. That's the only plausible explanation for having them there. We'll hear their explanation coming up, but I reject it. The only plausible explanation is that's when the guy who owns the team, who understands the gravity of this decision, would be there. He's signing off on this. And here's the danger. This is the David Tepper danger, not the splash zone if you're close to him when he's throwing a drink. This is when the owner is involved in any way, it takes, I believe, a significant degree of restraint, because the people who work for you are paying attention to everything you say, everything you do, every question you ask, every comment you make is a potential sign as to which of these guys you want. Because at the end of the day, if you get it wrong, it's better to get it wrong with the guy the boss wanted. It's your worst case scenario is the boss wanted this guy and you went with that guy and that guy stinks and the other guy's good and that's the guy the boss wanted. Your long-term job prospects are far better suited by giving the boss what you think the boss wants. And it all comes down to how vocal the boss is. But unless the boss is completely flatline vanilla, somebody's going to make a guess as to which guy. You can just tell when you've got four different people that you're considering for a job and you're meeting with them, you're having dinner with them, a human being cannot hide his or her preferences or not from among these people. It's going to come out at some point. Something is going to be said at some point that reveals which one the person who owns the business likes. And so, you know, will that be the justification to move away from Jaden Daniels toward a Drake May? Or will they try to do the thing where they trade down and still get their guy? I don't think Josh Harris is going to want to play that game. I think Josh Harris is going to want somebody. There's a chance it's not going to be Jaden Daniels, and they're just going to take that, and they're not going to get cute. They're not going to get smart. They're not going to outsmart themselves and end up not getting the guy they want or the guy the boss wants.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's the, oh, well, someone rid me of this meddlesome priest thing come to life. And you don't even have to be that, you know, passive aggressive about it. I mean, it's especially if you're in a group setting. I mean, there's body language, Mr. Body Language Expert. There's who is smiling, the boss interacting with the most? Who does he gravitate toward? Who does he have the biggest smile on his face when he's talking to? I mean, there are absolute tells that you can use in order to discern who it is that your boss likes in that kind of setting.
Absolutely. That's that great Michael Scott gif where he leans forward with his hands under his chin. Yeah. Like if the boss is reacting that way whenever Drake May talks or whenever J.J. McCarthy talks or whenever Michael Penix talks, like that's going to tell you this is the one the boss likes. So that's part of this. And I think we were saying yesterday that you've got so many different cooks involved with the Commanders. It makes it easier for the head chef to be in charge because there's too many other people. It's too diluted. It's not like Adam Peters has been given the keys to the organization. You've got Bob Myers involved. You've got Magic Johnson, who's got a seat at the table and he's involved and he's got something to say. And you've got, you know, your other executives who are there, and you've got just a lot of people involved in this process. And I think that puts greater emphasis on ownership. Something else I heard yesterday, and I struggle with this because there is a disconnect between what you will write as a report and what you'll say in a setting like this as just kind of, hey, you know, this is something to maybe keep an eye on. And maybe I'll write something about it. And I'm going to couch this as keep an eye on. Okay. Just keep an eye on the Raiders for Jaden Daniels. Mm. Keep an eye on the Raiders. Okay. There's a history with him and Antonio Pierce. I don't know if Pierce tried to get him to Arizona State at some point. I need to do my research on what the connection is there. But keep an eye on the Raiders. From both perspectives, Jaden Daniels wants the Raiders, and the Raiders want Jaden Daniels. Keep an eye on that. Not saying it's true. Just saying keep an eye on it. And, you know, there's also some speculation. When these crazy, unexpected things happen, there's some speculation that maybe, you know, Jaden Daniels, whether it was deliberate or just he wasn't thrilled with this idea that everybody says I'm the number two pick in the draft, why am I here with three other quarterbacks? You should be selling yourself on me. You should be making me want to be here. And I've got to spend the day with this group of quarterbacks and only one of us is going to come here. What are you doing? There may have been, you know, not the usual earnestness you would see from somebody who's like, oh, please hire me, please hire me, please hire me. So, you know, if the other ones are acting that way and Jaden Daniels isn't, then maybe Josh Harris isn't going like that, isn't doing the Michael Scott thing when Jaden Daniels speaks, because Jaden Daniels is like not, he's not feeling it. And why would you? You are the number two guy. The people who know what they're doing have Jaden Daniels as the clear number two guy. So when you have your visit to this team that wants you supposedly, and you should ideally want them, and the day is diluted by the other three quarterbacks being there, at some level you are going to be pissed. And when your agent posts that emoji of the guy thinking about something in response to the clip of Chris and me talking about the, you know, how it doesn't make any sense that they did this, there's red flags there. And it all flows back to how the Commanders have handled it. It's not anything about Jaden Daniels. It's how the Commanders have handled Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels may just not want to go there now.
Well, Mike, I mean, it comes off to me as a little bit disrespectful, you know, when you are a quarterback and you are going to be the leader of a franchise. You know, you're basically competing to be the number two overall pick. And, you know, for whatever reason, the franchise wants to have all four of you guys in on the same day. I mean, how are you really going to get to know somebody and get to know whether or not they are right for you if you are competing with other quarterbacks in a way that you never would in any other situation? It just, I don't know. I mean, as you were saying, it doesn't really make sense. I kind of think of it as a little bit disrespectful. I mean, I can tell you when the Rams traded up to number one overall in 2016, I was working for the team at the time, and they brought in Jared Goff, and they also brought in Carson Wentz on very separate days, right? I think it was the same week, but, you know, you had separate but equal time with both of those guys separately so that you can understand who they are. Because if you are a quarterback and you've got this other guy in the same room with you, I don't know how that you can really be yourself and the leader that you actually are. You know, because there are no two quarterbacks on the field at the same time, right? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. So, yeah, the whole approach does not really make sense to me. And so, you know, because usually you have the guy in, you take him on the board, you bring him out to dinner. Maybe that's when he has dinner with the owner. And then at that point in 2016, we did something with the internal media content team, and I got to talk to Goff and Wentz and all that stuff. So, like, this is where I'm confused by this, and I'm confused by this approach.
You mentioned the phrase equal time earlier. Let's give the Commanders equal time, not second for second, minute for minute. Let's just hear what they had to say. This is Adam Peters and assistant GM Lance Newmark on the decision to bring in four of the top quarterbacks on the same day.
With all these guys, they all know each other really well. And so what was cool is while we got to see them all together in a group setting at the Topgolf, which was really fun, and I think everybody had a great time, and it was very beneficial to see everybody in a more relaxed environment. They all got a lot of time individually with their coaches, with us, you know, where they were staggered coming in too. So it wasn't like they were sitting in a room together. They all had their own individual time with everybody. So it worked out really well. And then you got a great blend of that. And then working everybody together, you know, in a fun environment.
Yeah, this is the first time that I've been a part of doing it with a huge group of players together at once. And I thought it was a really cool dynamic seeing like the organic, like how guys came together, you know, how magnetic certain individuals were versus others. Just that loose kind of casual feel from the one night to the next day where it was more individualized the next day. So I really thought it was a great experience because you see how guys are in a group, and then you spend time with them individually as well. So I came away from it very impressed with the process, and I just thought it was a very positive overall experience.
Isn't it funny that there's been so much pushback to our take that this was a weird thing to do with all these people saying, oh, they do it all the time. They do it all the time. And the assistant GM says, I've never been involved with that before. So, yeah, they do it all the time. They do it all the time. To me, at a certain level, I'm firmly on record as not being a big fan of the concept of the draft. I understand the draft itself is a big deal. Oh, we cover it. We love it. It's the Harry Potter sorting hat. But at the same time, you know, it's, there it is. Psh, we love the draft. We got the countdown clock that comes up right away. but here's what this is. The Commanders have one chance to get the quarterback that's going to transform the franchise. And this is the strategy they've concocted to try to differentiate one from the other. And we're allowed to think it doesn't make sense. Just because people know X's and O's. I mean, I know people. I'm a student of the human condition. And I think you used the word disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. That word, yes.
It's disrespectful to all of them. It's like they're lab rats in a weird sort of way. Like here's what we're gonna do. Here's what we're gonna do.
Yes.
We've got these four guys, and we got to pick one of them. Let's just put them in a room together and see how they act. Maybe one will kill the other three. And that will clearly be the right choice for us. The only choice at that point. But there's an element of evil scientist that comes through this. That just, it's off-putting to me as an outsider. So it would definitely piss me off if I was one of the four kids or their agents to go through this, especially if I'm the guy that everybody says is the second best player in the draft. And I got to go through this weird power trip bullshit. Oh, there it is, 8:10 a.m. So, yeah, it's just weird. And it's disrespectful, particularly to the guy who is kind of the consensus number two player in the draft.
Frankly, I think it's disrespectful to all four of them. I mean, this what they described sounds like an alpha test, all right? Like, we're going to go to Topgolf, and we got all these other prospects here. It's not just the quarterbacks. It's all these other. And we want to see who the most magnetic personality is. So once we see who the magnetic personality is, are guys gravitating toward this guy or the other guy? It's like freaking draft day. Well, why didn't they go to his birthday party? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. At Topgolf, why didn't anybody hang out with this guy? Well, they were hanging out with the other guy. Oh, well, if that's the case, then that's the guy we should pick. I mean, what kind of alpha test is that? That's BS. I mean, if everybody is supposed to coalesce around the quarterback and you are basically saying, well, we're going to give you four quarterbacks, little mice. Well, which quarterback do you actually like? I mean, or is it like bees, you know, where there's the one queen, right? And you've got all these different bees. Who's going to gravitate toward the one queen bee? I don't know who it's going to. I mean, like, this is weird. This is like, this is not the normal process of stuff. And maybe thinking outside the box is going to work for the Commanders. But if I were one of those four, and it's like, okay, I'm going into what's effectively a cage match with these other quarterbacks, and I need to show I'm more magnetic, right? I need to show that I'm the better leader at freaking Topgolf of all places, as, you know, people maybe they want to gravitate toward me. Like, is that really something that should be in a pre-draft process? I don't know. I don't love that, Mike. I really don't.
To use your bee analogy, it's four queen bees.
Yes.
They're never going to be together again.
Ever.
They're never going to be in the same, unless they're on the same Pro Bowl roster, or right. We get to a point where, you know, one fails and he's the backup to one of the other ones. That's
exactly.
Possible as well, and that's probably happened. I mean, Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold were together in Carolina after they were, you know, maybe put through those same paces somewhere. But it's just odd. And there's a fine line between outside the box and effing nutty. And and you know what? If you want, here's the other part of it too that bothers me. Are they all golfers? Because let me tell you something. You take someone to top golf that's never golfed. Here's a club. Go have fun. You introduce an entirely new level of stress into the event.
Yes.
It's not relaxed at that point. Hey, you're
it's
up.
Not.
Hey, Michael, you're up. Let's see what you can do. Oh, they don't have left-handed clubs. Make do with the right-handed clubs. Go. And I mean, so you're under scrutiny. I don't know. Maybe they intended that. Maybe they picked Topgolf because, we'll see how they do when it's their chance to step right up, even if they've never golfed before. And maybe they determined in advance they all did. I don't know. But it's just, if you want to, I'm a firm believer that the best way to get an insight into someone's true character, especially at that age. There's two ways to do it. Number one, from the person, the low-level grunt that picks him up at the airport and takes him to the facility. How did the player interact? Because no one that age understands that anything you say to the person who drives you to the facility can and will be used against you as part of the effort to decide, are you a good person? Are you a bad person? Are you nice? Are you an asshole? Whatever. Sorry. The other thing, too, is you take him to dinner. Watching how someone deals with that basic social setting of we're going to eat and there's a waiter or a waitress and there's different people that come to the table. How do they interact with those people? How do they treat everyone they come in contact with? I think, to me, that's far more revealing than creating this bizarre, power-driven laboratory experiment where we're going to see how the four alphas interact with each other. I don't know. Oh, and the Commanders fans are like, you hate the, you're just looking for a reason to hate the Commanders. No, I see something weird, and I'm going to say it's weird.
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings is sometimes things are outside the box because that's where they're supposed to be. This to me seems like one of these things that's outside the box, and it should stay the hell there.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
I don't know. Mike, maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. But like this, I don't think I would have dealt with this very well if I were one of those four quarterbacks.
We got to take a break. But the biggest concern I would have if I'm a Commanders fan is that Josh Harris is going to find a way to put his thumb on the scale, and whether he does it intentionally or not. And will Adam Peters have strength of his convictions to go with the guy that he believes will be most likely the franchise quarterback they desperately need, or will he try to placate Josh Harris? And, you know, what kind of a bet are you willing to make with your future? That's what it comes down to. Am I willing to make the bet that I'm going to pick the right guy and Josh Harris is going to say to me, hey, boy, I'm glad you didn't listen to me? Or am I going to be the guy who takes the even safer course potentially and give the guy to the boss that the boss wants? And then if it's wrong, hey, boss, that's who you wanted. All right, let's take a break. Commanders undoubtedly taking a quarterback at some point in this process. What are the Broncos going to do? They start 10 picks later. Will they trade up? Will they stay put and see who falls? We'll delve into that next here on PFT Live.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oh, the jersey reveal is coming. Oh, the shadows and the backlighting. Oh, 422, the jersey reveal. Dun, dun, dun. Get ready to open your wallet and buy as many of the new jerseys as possible. And now we're going to have three of them. So if you don't have the first one, might get the first one, then get the second one, then get the third one. Then we're going to have three helmets you can buy and buy and buy and buy all of our stuff. Hate to be that cynical, but that's what this is all about. The Nikeification of the NFL. New uniforms, new helmets, more stuff for people to buy. And that's fine. That's how you want to spend your money? That's fine. I'm not hating the customer. All I'm saying is, you know, greed is good. And there's plenty of it in the National Football League. And this is all driven by giving more people stuff they can buy. Stuff that will look cool, hopefully, for the team that people will want to buy. Okay. It looks very cool. I mean, there's nothing like having a good team make a uniform look better. That was a realization Sims had. Once the Bengals started to play good, the uniforms he hated started to look a little bit better. That orange helmet looks like somebody got drunk and tried to carve up a pumpkin. That starts looking a lot better when you got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So they need the quarterback, Sean Payton and George Payton, coach and GM of the Broncos. Here they are yesterday on the need or not to draft a quarterback.
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question.
What you don't want to do, Mike, is force it. And, you know, otherwise we'll be in this position next year and the years after. So you want to get the right player at 12. Our first pick we got to hit on, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a tackle, receiver, you name it. We need to get an impact player.
Hey, George Payton was with the Vikings when they used the 12th pick on Christian Ponder. So he knows the pitfalls of overdrafting a quarterback, of reaching for a quarterback to address a need. That was back in 2011. It was Jake Locker at 8, Blaine Gabbert at 10, Christian Ponder at 12. Bust, bust, and bust. At least the Vikings didn't pass on J.J. Watt like the other two did in taking their quarterbacks that year. That was the year of no free agency, then the draft, free agency later after the lockout. But Peyton has the scars of taking a quarterback when you shouldn't. So at 12, Miles, this is one of the great mysteries of the draft. You've got six guys that potentially could be taken in the first round. More on that in a second. You've got seven teams in the top 13 that potentially are looking at taking a quarterback. At 12, I don't know who's going to be left. And I don't think the Broncos know who's going to be left. And I don't know, we're going to play the sound, but I don't know if they're inclined to trade up and give up assets to get a guy or just stay put and see if he falls to them.
You know what I think about, Mike, when it comes to Sean Payton and the draft and quarterbacks is Patrick Mahomes. Because we know, and Sean Payton has talked about, you know, the fact that if Kansas City hadn't gone up and traded for Patrick Mahomes, then that's a guy that they would have taken in New Orleans to be the successor to Drew Brees. And so I just wonder if there is a quarterback that Sean Payton likes that much, you know, is he going to be willing to sit back and just say, all right, well, we'll see if he falls. Now, I think that if there's a guy that Sean Payton is convinced can run his system and run it very well, then they'd be inclined to make a draft trade, go up, and get that guy, because there is no more important position, and especially when you have the dead cap hits that they've got for getting rid of Russell Wilson. I mean, yeah, you kind of want somebody that is young that you can build around and that you're not going to have to pay for the next, you know, 3-4 years. So I wonder how much that Patrick Mahomes and losing out on Patrick Mahomes in New Orleans is going to weigh on Peyton in this draft.
You make a great point, and I've already forgotten about it. We talked about it yesterday. He has to still be agonizing over the fact that he had Mahomes one spot away. Drew Brees wandered into the draft room a couple of picks before Mahomes went, and they had to go tell him there's a chance we're going to take a quarterback here. And I think Sean Payton would still be the coach of the Saints right now if he had gotten Patrick Mahomes in New Orleans. So that's how close he
came. Super Bowl or two.
So, and now the problem is, this time around, the team picking directly in front of the Broncos clearly needs a quarterback in the Minnesota Vikings. So you're already thinking, we're going to have to move up to get the guy we want, because there's a chance if we wait, he's going to get taken off the board at pick number 11 by the Minnesota Vikings. At a minimum, we got to do a deal with the Jets, our favorite team, Sean Payton's favorite team, the New York Jets. We got to do a deal with them at number 10 to move up to get the quarterback before the Vikings do. Here is both Payton with a Y and no Y Payton on if it's realistic for them to make a trade up from the 12th spot to get a quarterback.
The hypothetical relative to the what the compensation is it's a lot of times driven by who else is interested. So is George, and he's talked to all these teams in front of us, and obviously depending on how much further you go up. And then it's also, if there's someone else doing the same thing, and so that, I think George said it best at the very beginning, that certainly is a possibility. And then it's how much you can pallet.
Yeah, I would just say if it's a player you think can change the landscape of your organization moving forward, like a quarterback, then you do whatever you take to get him. And if there's a consensus in the building, a love in the building, and you're aggressive and you try to get them, doesn't mean you're going to get them, but you try. And so we're open to everything. We're wide open.
Well, that pretty much answers it. Unless they don't love any of the six guys that are regarded as potential first-round picks, they're going to move. They're going to try to move. Yeah. They're going to be working the phones. There's going to be a guy that they want, and there's going to be a zone where they think they can get him. And if he's on the board after the first two picks, that's when the window opens to do a deal with the Patriots at three, or the Cardinals at four, or the Chargers at five, if the Chargers would do a deal with a team in their division. And why wouldn't they? I mean, that happens all the time. That's how the Lions got Jameson Williams a couple of years ago. They did a deal with the Vikings. Now, the question becomes, and this is a very interesting dynamic as to how many of these quarterbacks really are first rounders. And how much of it is teams that are hoping there's a run on quarterbacks pumping up this idea that there are six first-round quarterbacks so that the players they want will make their way down the board? It's the Jim Harbaugh, J.J. McCarthy concept. And it's the perfect double whammy for Harbaugh. He can praise McCarthy and help his guy from Michigan, and he can try to speak into existence four quarterbacks taken with the first four picks, giving the Chargers the de facto first pick in the draft because they're not taking a quarterback. That's what Harbaugh wants. How many of these guys are really going to be first-round picks? How many of them are going to be top 10 picks? How many are going to naturally be on the board when the Vikings pick at 11, when the Broncos pick at 12, when the Raiders pick at 13? And one of the things I'm picking up from the folks who have reason to know where the floors are, Knicks might not be taken in round one at all, with the caveat of somebody could swing back in to 32. The Teddy Bridgewater, Lamar Jackson, get back in at 32, get the five-year contract, not the four-year contract that a second rounder would get. But Knicks is the most likely, based on what I've heard, to slide out of the round. Penix could. Somebody I trust told me recently, expect him to go in the top half of the round. Now, I don't know that that means Seattle was his floor at 16. Expect him to go in the top half of the round. Penix. Knicks may slide out. And remember, when we tried to figure out who else the NFL did or didn't invite to the draft, Penix and Knicks weren't invited, because the NFL doesn't want another Will Levis. They don't want somebody who's going to be in the green room all through round one and into round two. So, you know, before we just assume six quarterbacks are going to go in the first 13 picks because seven teams are looking for quarterbacks, Knicks, Penix the most likely to make it past the Vikings, the Raiders, and the Broncos, even if those teams don't trade up.
Well, right. There's always that dynamic, I feel like, when it's a big quarterback class, you know, and everybody's saying, oh my gosh, you gotta, this guy, there's that guy, there's this guy, there's that guy. Well, some of those guys are going to slide because the team's evaluation is not necessarily the same as the media evaluation, right? And, you know, teams have different priorities. Teams see a guy that they want, and then that guy goes off the board. So they have to shift what it is that they're going to do. And they have contingency plans. And they say, okay, well, if this quarterback's gone, then we feel like this other player is going to give us a better shot at it, right? I mean, we can use the Saints, for example, in the Mahomes draft. They don't get Mahomes, so where do they go? They go to Marshawn Lattimore, right? And he ends up being a really good player for him for a number of years. So that's where you can get this sort of sense of, oh, a guy is falling. Well, I mean, is he really falling, or was our perception of what this was supposed to be just incorrect?
And were teams that wanted a run on quarterbacks fueling that conversation? Yes. By affirmatively throwing jet fuel on the fire because they want to have all the quarterbacks gone because they're not going to take one of them anyway. They'd rather have the edge rusher, the offensive tackle, the corner, whoever, slip and slide in their direction. All right, we need to take a break. When we return, and, you know, sometimes I'll try to give you a tease that will get you to stick around. I just hope you'll stick around anyway. Sometimes I'll see a tease that makes me want to stick around because I don't know what it means. Jalen Hurts has something in common with Elaine Bennis. I can only hope it has to do with his dancing. We'll find out next here on PFT Live. George Brett, born in Glendale, West Virginia. Glendale is very close to where I grew up. just down the road. Lady Gaga's grandma, I think, still lives in Glendale. She had some sort of hip surgery a few years ago and had it at a hospital in my hometown. Useless facts that you can or can't, depending upon your inclination, share with others. Very well done. Very well done. I think that was the day that Shireen Williams was violently ill and I had to carry 2 hours by myself. I think that was that day. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
That whole day that was a blur. Sense. Even more of a blur for Shireen and even more of a bad memory for her. Once I got the text about it coming out both ends, that's when I said, let's not try to do this. Although, as we'll see in an upcoming segment, things like that could make for a viral video moment. Probably not a good idea to have Shireen on camera when violent things are happening due to the fact that the NFL tried to poison her when she was at the league meetings. Okay.
Because you weren't there.
That's a joke. Don't sue me yet. They Navalny'd her. All right. There's no way to make a pivot to our next topic. Jalen Hurts. Here is the Eagles quarterback this week, the start of offseason workouts for Philadelphia. When he's asked for his thoughts on the team's new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I'm excited to work with him. I know they have a history of doing really good things. I'm just in sponge mode. I'm letting them do what it is they're going to do, and then we kind of adjust from there. You know, I think the thing that we all have to understand is the importance of a foundation in something. And so I want the coaches to, you know, declare their foundation in terms of what they want something to be, how they want it to look. And then obviously you're gonna adjust from there. I think when that foundation isn't as strong as you want it to be, you know, it may not, you know, last as long or be as good in the end. And so that's something that we don't want to happen. So I'm just trusting the process in terms of what they're doing, what Coach Kellen is doing, Coach Doug and everyone. And I'm just being a player, trying to learn as much as I can.
So the sponge mode, that's the payoff of the tease. I get it. Well done. I had nothing to do with that. But there's a, I don't want to say classic episode because most of them are classic. There's a small handful of Seinfeld episodes that are ass. Most of them are great. And I like moments and storylines and jokes and whatever. But Spongeworthy was one of the, you might have even picked that up at some point by osmosis, even though you refused to watch Seinfeld. So Jalen Hurts in sponge mode, not in the way that Elaine was, trying to pick things up from Kellen Moore. And, you know, this is a challenge for him. It's another new offensive coordinator. We hear about that with other quarterbacks. Oh, look how many different offensive coordinators he's gone through. The guy they handpicked, the guy that he's known forever. 1 year and he got fired. It's they got a lot of work to do to get things pointed in the right direction in Philadelphia. They got a great roster, but they fell apart last year. Both coordinators got fired because of it. And now we'll see if they can turn it around. He better be in sponge mode because they are still regarded as a great team. But there's still a lot of questions as to whether or not they can play great on a consistent basis.
Yeah, but there should be, right? I mean, based on what happened at the end of last year, I mean, that's got to fall on somebody. Obviously, in this particular case, it fell on those coordinators and also Matt Patricia, who was not technically a coordinator, but then became a defensive play caller and then the defense got worse. So who knows why they really did that. So I'm interested to see what Jalen Hurts is going to look like in this offense because – you know, we know that Jalen Hurts is talented. We know that Jalen Hurts is a good leader, right? Those are things that have come through in the last couple of years. But I'm curious how this is going to affect him because it should be a positive thing, you know, when you bring in another player, another play caller. But it also was kind of a negative thing because he's not had that continuity and he's talked about wanting to have that continuity and yearning for it. And so when I hear that, it almost makes me think, well, should Nick Sirianni have really taken more ownership of this offense so he could eventually have that continuity? Because if Kellen Moore does a great job, he's going to get a head coaching job, right? That's the way these things work. So I don't think that they were probably Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman were inclined to have Nick Sirianni do that going into this offseason after the collapse of last year. But if Nick Sirianni does a good job, maybe that's something that they need to start considering because that's the only way that you're going to have that continuity is if Sirianni is the offensive play caller.
Yeah, that's the whole benefit of having an offensive head coach. He develops that joined at the hip relationship with the quarterback. The quarterback has the continuity he's looking for, and you keep getting better and better and better. Only once since Jalen Hurts played football in high school has he had the same offensive play caller for consecutive years. That was Shane Steichen in 2021 and 2022. So it's yet another change. It's a challenge for him. It's a challenge for the team. And it's just one of those little things. It's not going to be obvious, because when you watch the games, you're going to say, hey, why is that guy not playing well? Well, it may not have anything to do with him. It may have something to do with whoever it is that's drawing up the plays and designing the offense and calling the right play or the wrong play at the right time or the wrong time. All right, it's time for a break. When we return, five players who had been suspended by the NFL last season. There is news about whether or not they'll be returning due to the gambling policy. We'll do that next here on PFT Live. The National Football League announced on Thursday that five players who had previously been suspended for violating the league's gambling policy have been reinstated. They are Commanders defensive end Shaka Toney, defensive end Rashad Berry, who is a free agent, receiver Quentin Cephas, who is a free agent, safety C.J. Moore, who is a free agent, and defensive end Demetrius Taylor. All are reinstated after being given the temporary boot by the NFL for violations of the gambling policy. The one name that was omitted from the list of reinstated players was cornerback Isaiah Rodgers, who had played for the Colts. He was suspended for a minimum of a year in 2023, not reinstated. The Eagles have acquired his rights. The problem for Rodgers is he bet on the Colts while playing for the Colts. And specifically, he bet on a Jonathan Taylor over-under prop bet and won $1,000. The winning isn't the problem. It's the betting on your team. It's the betting on football. A lot of the problems we're seeing are guys, you know, gambling on team property or gambling on other teams that play football. But when you gamble on your own team, when you're betting on your own team, it's getting a little too close to the you're never coming back. Like what we saw with the NBA this week when Jonte Porter banned for life for betting on his Toronto Raptors to lose and for involvement with these prop bets, action on his unders, leaving a couple of games early due to injury. He's never going to play basketball again, at least not in the NBA. And I won't be surprised if it's at least another year, if not longer, for Isaiah Rodgers to come back to the NFL, Miles.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, whenever you are betting on your own team, I mean, there are things that are just very clear violations of the betting policy, even, you know, irrespective of all the explosion of sports betting and all of this. Like, this is a very clear line that Isaiah Rodgers crossed. Okay, I mean, and it's been a line for years and years and years and years, and all the players know it because all the players go through betting training. And now the betting thing has it's different now than it was in the past. But once you're betting on your own team, I mean, that's a easy way to get yourself suspended and potentially banned. So that's why it did not surprise me that Isaiah Rodgers was not one of the players reinstated yesterday.
The prop bets are problematic as well, because Isaiah Rodgers was in a position to know what the game plan is going to be. Is it going to be a lot of running for Jonathan Taylor, or is it going to be a pass game? Like, he is in that bubble of inside information, and one of the big concerns is how that information can get misappropriated, but he's actually using it. He's not selling it or telling it to someone. He's using it. And, yeah, I won't be surprised if it's a long time before he's back. I was surprised the Eagles even picked up his right. It's smart because we're ready to go if and when he's cleared, but he may not get cleared. I think the NFL is really going to have to be careful about this. All the sports have to be careful about it, as we've seen with the Shohei Ohtani scandal. He's going to be cleared by Major League Baseball, but what a crazy story that was. And now Jonte Porter. The NFL hasn't had a major gambling scandal yet with a big-name player. It feels inevitable with a player, with a coach, with somebody with an instantly recognizable name. It's yet to be a guy that you go, holy crap. That's coming. and we'll see how they deal with it when it happens. All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, teams that need to nail the draft, which starts in only 6 days. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board.
That is a baller move by Trent Baalke. Don't act like you didn't do it. Don't blame it on the dog. Own it. Excuse yourself and move on. Just like a sneeze. It's no different than a sneeze. You sneeze, you excuse yourself. You got to let out a little pressure. It can get uncomfortable. People have conditions. Let it fly. Let it fly. I mean, if I would ever audibly do something like that, I would own it, baby. I would do a walk-off. That was great. It was so nonchalant. It was so casual. Huge. I'm not being sarcastic. Huge respect. You have to have a high degree of confidence in who you are as a person to lift up a butt cheek, rip a fart, and just keep going.
He paused in the middle of his sentence to let it go. I hadn't seen that because I wanted, you know, my genuine reaction to appear on television, I guess. Oh, my goodness. Wow. That was a little unbelievable. That was shocking.
Let's see it again. Since you didn't see it the first time. Here we go. Here's Trent Baalke. Let's Zapruder film this. Go ahead. Oh, we don't have the audio. Either way, the quick pause. I love it. It's a human bodily function. There is nothing offensive about it as long as you're standing at least 5 feet away from the person. So
it shouldn't be anyway. 6 feet. Didn't we learn 6 feet was the proper distance to be true. Away from people?
It depends on the wind and what the person has eaten, and what medication the person may be taking.
So true.
I'm tempted to share one specific fact, but I'll wait for the break just in case. I don't want to offend anybody early in the morning or any time at all. Okay.
Let's go to the draft.
Teams that have to nail the 2024 draft. Here we go. Who needs to nail the draft the most? You're up.
I'll just go with the obvious choice and say the Bears, right? I think we know that, you know, Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick. It's felt inevitable for a long time, but especially since they traded Justin Fields to the Steelers. But I think the underrated element of that is the number 9 overall pick. Right, what are the Bears going to do with that pick? Are they going to trade down? You know, are they going to go to number 12, somebody like the Broncos that wants to move up potentially to get a quarterback? And then does that bring them another asset that they can use in order to fortify this team for a guy like Caleb Williams? I mean, this could set the Bears up to be successful for the next 5-6 years, right? I think that would kind of be whatever window we want to say of success for them. So they need to nail this, not just with what they do at number 1 overall, but what they do with that number 9 overall pick too.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of other picks, so it would make sense to trade down there and get more assets, get more players. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I mean, they're all in, but they don't have the money to go out and buy free agents because they have to take care of CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Dak Prescott. You better make your draft picks count. You better get a guy at every selection who comes in. And, you know, that offensive line, not what it used to be. A lot of holes on that defense. You better hope that you are getting the right players and your coaching staff can develop them quickly, because what this draft class does may ultimately determine whether or not Mike McCarthy has any chance of coming back for 2025.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. The Cowboys are going to be under a lot of pressure. I'll go with the Buffalo Bills for my second pick, because it's not just that they need a wide receiver, which they do, despite what Brandon Bean wants to say. But, you know, they're replacing a lot of veterans, not just Steph Diggs, right? Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse, your center, Leonard Floyd, Trey White. I mean, all of those guys were significant pieces. And yes, Trey White's been hurt. But if you look at it from that perspective and you've got to replace veterans and you got to replace leadership, you're going to do it by getting younger. That means you have to nail the draft. And so that means they've got to nail however many picks they go with.
Minnesota Vikings clearly and obviously need a replacement for Kirk Cousins. Sam Darnold is the placeholder. What are they going to do at that 11th pick? They've already acquired the 23rd pick with an idea they're going to try to do a combination of those two to move up? Who are they going to get? Are they going to just trust that Kevin O'Connell will take whoever they get and turn him into a great quarterback? This is the key for them, and they need to come out of this with a franchise quarterback, even if it means considering moving on from Justin Jefferson. As I said earlier this week, if you're not going to pay him, and it's never going to get any cheaper than it is right now, if you're not going to pay him, trade him and use that asset to get yourself a true year-in and year-out franchise quarterback who can become joint at the hip with Kevin O'Connell 10, 15 years of the kind of performances that make a difference between getting to a Super Bowl and not getting to a Super Bowl. All right, let's take a break. One more round and one more segment of PFT Live. We'll be back right after. All right, one more round. Who needs to nail the draft the most? It starts in only 6 days. If you haven't heard, there are picks so far. Miles, who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Rams. You know, they've got they're scheduled to make their first-round pick since the Obama administration. We'll see if they actually do. But they've obviously got big shoes to fill defensively with the retirement of Aaron Donald. They have pieces like an Ernest Jones, Kobe Turner, but I think they could use an impact defensive player, or they could kind of double down on their offense with that first-round pick if they make it, and then go with maybe another wide receiver to pair with Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua. So I'm interested to see what they do, but they got to nail it.
We did the NFC East draft needs recently, and the Giants, when you look at their depth chart, they really don't have anyone who can make noise with the ball in his hands. Running back or receiver. They need a playmaker. And this temptation that they apparently have to take a quarterback at six, maybe even trade up and take J.J. McCarthy, that's another thing I heard, that they really like J.J. McCarthy, and maybe they will trade up to ensure they get him. Who's he going to throw to? Who's he going to hand off to? All due respect to Devin Singletary, he's not Saquon Barkley. You're going to make it harder for the kid to succeed because he's not going to have the help around him. So they need to get playmakers in this draft.
Not only that, they got to be at a better offensive line. I mean, my gosh, that offensive line was a mess last year. So they had a lot of work to do in the Giants.
Bill Belichick might not want that job next year. They offer it to him. All right, that's it for today. Everybody have a great weekend. Miles, go drive your car.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.